The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
The angel Gabriel was sent out from God to a town of Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man named Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming to her, he said, "Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at what was said, and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great, and will be called Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of David his father, and he will rule over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." But Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I have no relations with the man?" And the angel said to her in reply, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month for her who was called barren, for nothing will be impossible for God." Mary said, "Behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. May it be done to me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
It is the last Sunday of Advent. We are still in Advent. This evening, Christmas will be celebrated at the vigil. We are on the cusps and on the heels about to commemorate the most wonderful love story that man, that created man, has ever known. We are about to commemorate the most sacrificial, self-giving, eternal love that has ever been known to man or woman. A being, God, that is called love itself, creating a world of wonders, the trees, the skies, the planets, all of what science tells us is in this great universe, the galaxies. And then making man and woman in his image, because that is what one does that loves, he creates. God was alone before the beginning of time, before man and woman, before he made the heavens and the earth, God existed and he was alone. But God is love, and love creates. Man and woman in the marriage bond out of love create. When we say that we like to garden, I say, "I love gardening." Well, you don't garden and you don't do it. You say, "Well, I love painting." Well, that implies that you are painting. You can't say you love painting if you don't paint. Because love creates. Love creates. And God created a man and a woman made in his image. That's how much he loved them. That there's something about the face of a human and the face of a woman that reflects the face of God. The mystery of God himself. And he made them to be in paradise with all the privileges and the freedom of being a true son and daughter of God in communion with God was there for the taking. There was no work. They worked. There was no toil. There was no suffering. There was perfection. But they're also with that freedom and with that privilege of being a son and daughter of God, there were certain responsibilities, certain restraints and certain prudence that needed to be had. And our parents, Adam and Eve, were tempted by Satan. And they mistrusted and they disobeyed. And sin entered the world. God was betrayed. God had given everything, even an imprint of himself in these beings, and God was betrayed by original sin. And my brothers and sisters, I will leave up to the theologians to tell us if God felt pain at that betrayal. Can God feel pain? God is love. But what we do know is that God, in the incarnation that we're about to commemorate, does become a human and is betrayed even by one of his apostles. And the Jews that hailed him as King of Israel on Palm Sunday, a few days later, were hailing him to please crucify this betrayer. I have to imagine that one of the most excruciating emotions that a human has to go through is a betrayal. Betrayal of a son or a daughter. A son or a daughter that we have raised from yea high, from the crib, or from any age, and we gave him everything that we felt that child deserved. Love, food, clothing, education, caring, guidance. And then turning, rejecting, becoming wayward. Or the betrayal of a husband to a wife, the betrayal of a wife to a husband, the betrayal of an employee that one has groomed, one that has you formed, you paid for this employee taking classes to work for you, and then he stabs you in the back and he goes somewhere else. The betrayal of a friend, of a brother, or a sister. One would do anything. I can relate a little bit better with a son or a daughter than an employee or something like that. I guess we all can. But a child that one has groomed and grown and formed to be betrayed, you would do anything. Whether he is a drug addict, whether he is across the world in Somalia, wherever he is, you would go to all ends to bring that child back, to give him sense, to love him, to be able to love him again. That is the battle that exists in before the with the incarnation and the freedom that we have now in the incarnation. That original sin comes into the world, and now we call that the spirit of the world. And St. Montfort explicitly states that the spirit of the world is essentially the denial of the supreme dominion of God, a denial that is manifested in practice by sin and disobedience. And that spirit is diametrically opposed to Christ and his mother Mary, our co-redemptorist. So, my brothers, the spirit of the world is upon us, and there's that battle. God becomes a man now soon in this incarnation, and again, from the very beginning, there's chaos. Mary herself, in today's reading, says, I am afraid of what you're telling me. These words, I'm confounded. How can I, a virgin, conceive? We know nothing of Joseph, very little of Joseph, and yet his silence in Scripture speaks volumes. And there's books written on St. Joseph simply from his silence, because he had to suffer, that he had to marry a pregnant woman that was totally against Jewish law, and Mary had to suffer that he wanted to divorce her. And hence we have the devotion of the seven sorrows of Mary. The flight to Egypt, simply soon as Jesus is born, they have to leave because Herod is trying to kill all children, trying to get to the newborn king. And throughout Mary's life is a life of suffering. From the very beginning, Jesus is born in a stable, poor. Joseph can't even find a home for his adopted son. Chaos, disorder, sin rains down upon the Holy Family as God becomes a man and allows himself to undergo sin, undergo disorder, undergo betrayal, undergo suffering, to show us how much he loves us. That even to show us that in reality, if we think a little back, he could have prevented, could have he prevented original sin? A theological question. But in Easter, we will say on the vigil, O blessed fault of Adam, O blessed sin that procured for us such a wonderful Savior. So it's all the mystery. The beauty of salvation, that God loves us so much that he wants to call us, comes about by sin. So sin has a part in procuring Christ as our Savior. So my brothers and sisters, as we approach this Christmas season, let us with Mary say the great fiat, as she says today, I am afraid, I am confused, but yes, be it done according to your will. And with that will was born Christ, and with that will Christ will be betrayed. Christ born, weakness personified. As a matter of fact, he came and taught a weakness that is holy. Not a weakness that were a doormat, but a weakness in the Beatitudes. Blessed are those who are persecuted. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those that seek righteousness. Blessed are those that mourn, the peacemakers. Blessed are the merciful. And for teaching a way of love, because remember, God the Creator is love, Jesus the man is love, Holy Spirit is the love between both of those, the Trinity, where we are called, when we are restored, to commune and live with. It's all love. It's all sacrificial love. And God doesn't know what else to do to show us that love. The greatest love story that has ever befallen human mind. So in closing, let us echo St. Paul's thoughts on when he writes to the Thessalonians. And these thoughts, when we're here and we hear them, and we're being told these thoughts, they're beautiful, they're great, and then they can come out like you can blow out a candle. Because the mind is fickle, and the spirit of the world is in combat with the Spirit of God in our souls. And so we echo Paul instead, just in these states, pray without ceasing, that in all circumstances you give thanks, for this is the will of God for you. The will of God, as mysterious, as confounding, as painful, as betrayably painful as it can be. And may the God of peace make you perfectly holy, and may you entirely, spirit, soul, and body, be preserved blameless for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the great joy of Christmas. This is the joy. There's greatness in giving gifts and in getting together. But what we celebrate is the freedom that we have. A true freedom that we now have a God that allowed himself to undergo something terrible. And he is with us. And he is with us. Tomorrow, this evening, as we sing Christmas songs, we will hear peace, the angels over the manger in Bethlehem say, peace to men of goodwill. If we have goodwill, if we are trying to follow God's will, we must trust in his mercy and know that a love affair occurs between our souls and him. And that love affair will do everything to bring it back. Beautiful people of St. Mary, let us embrace this love that knows no bounds, because what he wants to give us is no bounds, which is to be like him. We look like him. We don't know the face of God, but we look like him. We are like him, and we will be with him between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.